Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY22 earnings conference call of Talbros Automotive Components Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Talwar, Joint Managing Director of Talbros Automotive Components Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Talwar.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody, and a very warm welcome to our quarter four earnings and our financial year earnings of 22. I hope you all are staying safe and healthy. On the call today, I'm joined by Mr. Naveen Juneja, our director on the board of Talbros, and our group CFO. We also have SGA, our investor relations advisors, joining us from Mumbai. The results and the presentations are uploaded on the stock exchange and the company website. Let me begin with the industry and the overall economic environment at the moment. The overall auto industry has seen a degrowth of 6% in FY22. Sales of all segments, that is passenger vehicles, commercial vehicles, two-wheelers, three-wheelers, are still below 2018-19 levels, despite some recovery from a low base. Despite that situation, our company has outperformed at all levels. Our revenue grew by 29% to 585 crores. Our EBITDA grew 29% to 83 crores. And we also reported our highest ever profit after tax at 45 crores, which was a growth of 84% over last year. As committed, we are keeping in pace with all technologies at the moment and also looking actively at getting a larger market share in both domestic and global markets. As we have stated in the past and still state once again, it was a very challenging year, but being a hedged auto component company supplying to all vehicle platforms from two-wheelers, three-wheelers to four-wheelers to passenger cars, heavy-duty, lightweight commercial vehicles, agriculture, exports, domestic, tractor industry, we were able to maintain a good profit margin. A quick highlight about Talbros Automotive and our joint ventures. As mentioned to you earlier, we are a diversified autocom player across all segments. Our business is broadly divided into our standalone business, which is our gaskets and our forging business, and three joint ventures with global auto leaders in gasket, chassis, and rubber components. In our standalone gasket business, we continue to dominate in India with our market share being in excess of 50%. I'm happy to announce out here that we have successfully started our heat shield business line with some good business orders that we have won, which will commence in this financial year, and also making good inroads in exports with this division. Forging business continues to perform well with, you know, almost a 48% contribution coming from the export portfolio. Could have done slightly better, but some of our customers had this semiconductor shortage globally, which resulted in a little bit of a sluggish in quarter four. Our joint venture with Marelli is a 50-50 joint venture to develop and manufacture chassis components, front axles, rear axles. And from this joint venture, we are supplying a lot of components to the electrical vehicle market especially with one of the large Indian OEM like Tata Motors. Not to mention in forging also we do supply to electric vehicles globally. Talbot's Marugu, our rubber joint venture with Marugu Japan, manufactured rubber components as well as hoses. Our FY22 sales in the domestic segment, about 26% came from 2- and 3-wheelers. This has come down a bit over the last 2 years, obviously with the 2-wheeler market having its own struggles with EV as well as the fuel prices being very high. But hopefully with this new cut that the government has announced on excise duty, we may see a recovery in this financial year. 28% of our domestic revenues came from passenger vehicles led by Maruti and Tata, which are doing pretty well. And about 28% came from heavy commercial vehicles. 10% came from the agri sector. So you can see it's a very hedged and a diversified portfolio. Our exports are doing well. Our exports constitute about 24 to 25% of our turnover. And our endeavor, as committed earlier also, is try and hit the 30% mark over the next 2 to 3 years over a larger turnover. Just to, before handing the call over to Naveen, who will take you through all the numbers, I think Talbot's is in a good position even now, even though we face a lot of headwinds this year with inflation and cost measures, but we are going to try our best to continue performance and try and definitely capture a larger market share within India as well as in the global markets. I'll hand the call to Naveen now.
Thank you, Anuj. Good morning and a warm welcome to all the participants. Let me begin with the financial overviews. In the gasket division, including Nippon Leakless Turbos, for FY22, our standalone gasket sale was Rs. 382 crores as against 287 crores in FY21, a growth of 33%. Total revenue on Nippon Leakless was 74 crores in FY22 as compared to 83 crores in FY21. The major reason is that we developed a new BS6 gasket for Hero with a localized steel and the raw material, and the selling price came down by approximately 20% because of that. This segment saw a combined EBITDA of 70 crores in FY22 versus Rs. 50 crores in FY21, a growth of 40% here. Now coming to the forging division, the forging business is consistently performing well. The revenue in FY22 is Rs. 204 crores as against Rs. 170 crores in FY21, a growth of 20%. But here, the last quarter, the export, because of the semiconductor issues, the exports little bit came down, and that was in the last quarter, it was only 48%. Generally, it is 50% plus. Now, coming to our Magneti Chassis System Private Limited, revenue for FY22 stood at 165 crores versus 124 crores in FY21, registering a growth of 32%. The Talbot's Marugu Private Limited revenue stood at 55 crores in FY22 versus 41 crore in FY21, a growth of 33%. Now coming to the consolidated financial performance of the company. For FY22, revenue have grown by 29% to Rs. 585 crores. Our ability of executing multi-year orders have helped us to achieve growth in such a challenging environment. EBITDA grew in line with the revenue by 29% to 83 crores. We have recovered major portion of steel price increases for our major OEMs. We are closely monitoring the commodity market and continuously working with our customers on the pass-through front. Our PAT stood at 45 crores for FY22, highest ever profit the company has achieved. PAT grew by 84% on YOY basis. Our ROC for FY22 stood at 16.3%. our ROE of FY22 stood at, and I think there is some mistake, it's saying 16.3%. Let me check and come back to you. Gross debt at the end of March 22 stood at 89 crores. We have continuously reduced our debt, and our current debt to equity ratio is 0.29%. The board of directors have recommended a final dividend of 1.50 rupees per equity share for FY22, in addition to the interim dividend of rupees 1 per equity share of face value of 10 to be paid. The total dividend is rupees 2.5 rupees per equity share, that is 25% of the face value. We continue to witness strong momentum and benefits of our hedge portfolio, and accordingly we foresee higher profitability of Telcos in coming FY financial year 23. For FY23, we are working on multiple orders across exports and domestic markets and across various segments of OEMs. As some order achieved in FY20 and 21, we see a full year of execution in the current financial year. We remain confident of achieving growth over FY22 in revenue terms. However, we are facing some medium-term challenges on raw material inflation, logistics. We will refrain in guiding margins for FY23 and revisit this post Q2. Structurally and long-term basis, we believe that we are in a substantial margin movement environment. That's all from our side, and I will now like to open the floor for the questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sanket B. from KDR Securities. Please go ahead.
Firstly, congratulations on good set of results. Just wanted to understand in regards to our heat shield product, which is a transfer of technology with Sarva, what would be the market potential for us going forward?
Yeah, regarding heat shield, we are in the process of absorbing the technology from Sarva. And just want to tell you, there is a senior engineer for Sarva is stationed in our Faridabad factory and is here for the next 45 days. And he will install the machines, tell us the processes, and he will do everything for us. And he will visit our customers. So we are having a very good traction in this business. If we see my order book of this heat shield business as of today, which has been closed, is approximately to a tune of 35 to 40 crores. We have already closed the businesses. Of course, the building will take some time. And I think within the next 6 months, this figure can touch up to 40, 45 crores. You're getting very good traction on that.
Understood. And secondly, is the management looking for any more inorganic acquisitions or partnerships or any investments like the one which we did in Loham, or any update with how it is going with Loham and it can benefit us?
So we are always open for looking for some investments, absorbing technology, new products. We are always open and we are looking for that, but unfortunately nothing is there as of on the table right now for us, because the market is very, very pure. So we are working more towards surviving our business first, and there is a very good scope in expanding our business at present. Believe me, have you seen the growth of 33%? That 30% on total loss basis in this last financial year, in spite of the major challenges of COVID in April, May, you know that what has happened. But there is a huge scope in our heat shield business. Gasket in the company, the Cummins, and our export customers like GLR, there is a huge scope going forward. And forging is a portion who can go anywhere in that.
Yeah.
So we are working toward that, but our eyes and ears are open and we are open to take any project and acquire any technology or anything else. We are always open for that.
I'd like to add to what Naveen said. At the moment, we have a good order book in all our divisions, number one. Number two, the export markets are looking very, very interesting. You know, a lot of other OEMs in the world are looking at us to change from heavyweight to lightweighting forging, which we're working on, which there will be more clarity after, let's say, quarter one. At the same time, there is a lot of potential in the Indian market as well with our product portfolio. Even Maruti Rubber is now working with Maruti on some new kind of hoses going forward in the future with the biofuel engines. So at the moment, organically also, you look at it as enough potential in the company to look at high return ratios in challenging environment and at the same time keeping our debt levels at an optimum level. But we are always open for new ideas, new technologies, always.
And the investment in Loham, it is just from the investment perspective or are there any strategic benefits to us growing from their business?
Loham is not a part of Talbot Automotive.
Okay, understood. And can you tell us about if any work is going on the R&D side and any new products which are in the market?
R&D, we're working on lightweighted heat shields. We're trying to work on underbody heat shields. We're working on
MNS gasket for
cylinder heads. We're working on some cylinder head gaskets for a large OE customer. We're working on some other components for electric vehicles or lightweighting, suspend control arms. We're trying to work something on the export market. It's always ongoing. Hoses, like I mentioned to you, for future models of Maruti. That's an ongoing process.
And with our customers like Tata Motors, they are going in a big way in the EV. Same is with Hyundai and Kia. So even Ashok Leyland for that matter in heavy commercial vehicles. So what type of comments are we getting from them and how do we see market developing with these customers going forward?
In Tata Motors, from our Marelli joint venture, for the EV vehicles we are supplying our products. Proud to say that in Tata Motors, all PV segment, which is IC engine and EV, our product, which is called the suspension control arm, our market share is 70%. We are making more inroads with Leyland also, although our large customers in our gasket division is from Cummins, followed by Tata Motors and Volvo Eicher. Ashok Leyland, being located in the south, we are now making a few more inroads into them as well. So that's an ongoing process.
Yeah, plus we have started developing a smart heat sheet for our Tata EV vehicle also.
And also to your last point, Hyundai and Kia, we are commencing production in June
for Hyundai
for heat sheets from our gasket division.
And any benefits which are coming to us as a part of PLI or any other schemes which the government is announcing? Like, we are not the direct beneficiaries for any of the scheme, but any indirect benefits flowing to us?
Indirect benefit in the sense, the more these companies like Kia, because of localization, forcing the location on the these people to enable to avail PLI, of course, we are getting good traction from Kia and Hyundai, who are importing these gaskets, and Maruti also is giving up heat sheet business because they were importing, they are presently importing all these things. So the import substitution is happening and we are getting the added benefit of that.
Thanks for answering all my questions and best of luck.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Harshil Solanki from Equitree Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, team. I had two broad questions. First is, the industry has been struggling since the last 3 years, but Talgo has done very well. ROE has improved and the debt has also reduced. So I wanted to know has the company done differently to outperform and why do you see the growth coming from when the industry recovers? And the second point is, Marelli, your JV partner, has recently launched a wireless system for EV batteries. So will that product flow into the IJV in the future?
First question regarding how we have outperformed the industry and performed well as compared to the industry. There are two, three major reasons for that. One is we are not dependent on one company and one segment of auto industry. We are there in every segment. You know that we are totally hedged. Number two, our export is 24-25%. It used to be 15-16% 3-4 years back. Number three, we are in the, like in the gasket, we are there in the BS6. We are the only company who has developed BS6 gasket successfully from BS4 to BS6 transition. We have done very successfully with all OEMs, and we are getting very good traction on that account. Thirdly, on the basis of this, our R&D facility and our knowledge in the industry, we are getting some, we are getting new businesses from our IWH gasket from Cummins. You know that we got the business of that. That is giving us a good, very good traction. Pleased to announce that at present my capacity is around 8,000 to 10,000 per month. And keeping in mind, Cummins is expecting to double this volume, and they have ordered us to set up one more set of lines, which will be operational by October of this year. So these, all these three, four sectors and factors and plus forging, we are again, export is there, our major customers like BMW, JLR, everything, they are growing, and we have cracked them, and our delivery cost, delivery, everything, quality has helped us in growing this. That's the major reason, sir. Regarding the second question, can you repeat the second question? I just missed that.
Yeah, Marelli, which is your JV partner, has launched a wireless system for EV batteries recently. So will that technology flow into our JV in the future?
No, our JV is for the suspension and related components, not in that.
Okay, got it. That was it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nisar Farik from Native Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Yes, my question is on EV. When you look at the current revenue stream, what percentage of revenue or what percentage of our products are, you know, actually will be irrelevant when it comes to EVs?
If it comes to our gasket division, I think there's hardly anything in EV at present. At present, maybe after 6 months, 9 months, when the issues start going, they will go into EV. And on the this forging division, I think about 25 to 30 crore of the business is almost 10% business is in the EV sector.
Supplying to electric
vehicles, in mainly, I think it's around much more than that. It's around 15-20% is going to the EV vehicles. That is the breakup.
His question was that how much of your business is at threat with EV?
At threat.
How much of it will be away in 2024-25?
So, first of all, we are, if I go to the EV transition of from IC to EV, the maximum is three-wheelers. The three-wheeler I have bought, whether we have bought with me, the study of CRISIL, which says in the FY22, 227,000 three-wheeler will be there, are selling, and out of which 4.3% is EV in this year, FY22. By 25-26, they are saying this 2 to 27 should be 600,000 three-wheelers, out of which 26 to 27% will be EV. If we take out 26-27, in absolute number, the still IC growth is there. If we come to two-wheelers for last financial year ended 22, they are saying that two-wheeler registration is approximately 12,000,000, just a minute, sir. 1.2 CR. 12.3 million. Yeah. 12.3 million, approximately. Two-wheeler numbers.
Yeah, I think it
is. Total two-wheeler registered is 12.3 million. Out of which 1.8% is EV. And by 26, they are saying this 12.3 will be around 19 million. and out of which 12 to 13% will be IC. So
no EV.
For EV. So if I take that into account, that there will be no downfall. We are not seeing any downfall in the EV. Sorry, IC engines going forward. They will, everybody will go. IC will be there and SC will be there. But next 3-4 years, we don't think it might, the two-wheeler sale will come down. But IC, it will not come down. So the, we are not there in passenger vehicles and in gasoline, we are not there in passenger vehicles and in the commercial vehicles, there is no threat at all. And we are a major driver of commercial vehicles business. Of course, we are there in two-wheeler in a big way, but I don't know. But at present, we don't see any threat to that.
Got it. No, that is helpful. And as of today, what percentage, how much revenue do we get from sale to EV?
Pardon me? What percentage would be our EV sales as a turnover of the company?
At present, if we take consolidated turnover of 700, I think we are there, 724 consolidated sales proportion to our JV, our EV should be around 3%, 3 to 4%.
Got it, thank you. I'll come back.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipen Shah from HNI. Please go ahead.
Good evening, good morning, and thank you for the opportunity. First of all, congrats on a good set of numbers in these trying times. I had just one question on the margins. Mr. Juneja mentioned that there are a few challenges as far as the raw material costs are concerned.
Yeah.
If you could just give us some more insight on how things pan out in the first and the second quarter as compared to what they were in the fourth quarter. And in light of the recent duty cuts and the reduction in the steel prices, how do you see the scenario panning forward maybe in the next couple of quarters? Thank you so much.
First of all, I would like to see, let's not look at quarter to quarter. When the prices are going up, it's very, because some price increases we get after two quarters, and some we get after, but maybe next quarter. I think we should see the margin for the total year.
Okay.
Our margin is around, EBITDA is around 14%.
Yes.
I think, nobody gets 100% recovery, you know that. But anyway, when the prices are up, nobody gets 100% recovery. Of course, we have to absorb something. But we try to recover 95%, we can say, in prices. We have recovered that in that year. And last quarter is a combination of various factors. Because Maruco price increase we got in the last quarter for the full last 6 months. So that is the added year. So that's why I'm talking about full year. And in the freight, first time we have to face the freight price increases. I think most of the customers have given, somebody has given 75%, somebody has given 80%, but BMW, unfortunately, for 6 months, we are not able to recover. But we are still fighting with them. Let's see. So, going forward, we just read in the paper that the anti-dumping duty, etc. is there in the steel sector. So, steel is going to come down. Let's see. Nothing is, as of today, nothing is on the ground. Of course, the effect will come after 1 month or so. If it has come, the way we are giving price increases, of course, we'll get the benefit of that. Of course, we get the price increase after 6 months, 9 months, whatever it is. So that is the thing how it goes in the industry. And like, we have also faced the challenge of the foreign currency. Like my dollar is going crazy, as you know that dollar is going crazy these days. And we are importing in gaseous materials in dollar. On the export front, we are a major exporter in forging in euro. And euro is again weakening against rupee. So there also there is a price settlement after every 6 months. Average price of last 6 months is being considered for the next 6 months. So these are the business challenges we have to accept, that sometimes it goes in our favor, sometimes it goes against us. But we are hopeful to be able to maintain these type of margin nearby, not on a yearly basis, not see quarter wise. It may come to 30.75 in one quarter, 14.25 in next quarter. So we have to around this. I'm hopeful we need to maintain 14 plus EBITDA at the end of next year. We try to work on that.
Okay, that's nice to hear. And on the other side, any levers, further levers which are available in terms of protecting the margin, say localization of content further than what you have done or maybe any other levers which you could have?
Sir, we are continuously working on localization, but the problem here lies because our product is very, very, in gasket, major import is in gasket region. In other regions, there is no import, first of all, I want to clarify. And the gasket goes in the engine. The quality we need to check very, very deeply. Plus, people like Cummins and Volvo, they are happy to pay more price. They are happy to pay, but they want the material from a particular source, which is approved globally. Their sources, their raw material sources are approved globally. So they don't want to compromise on that front. We have no choice in that sense. But people like Hero, Bajaj, there we are working on localization. Hero is not there for Bajaj. Used to import materials, now we are starting giving them local material and they are accepting that.
Okay.
It needs to take the customer also confidence now.
Okay, okay. That's, thank you very much and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jyoti Singh from Arihant Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congrats on the good set of number. So my question is if you can guide us for the revenue growth for the FY23 and 24 and similar on the margin side. And another question, if you can comment on the PLI approved product of Talbroos. Thank you.
Yeah, we have already said I'm not in a position to give you any guidance at this moment because of the, you know, what's happening all over the world. But this I can say that we will like able to achieve a minimum double digit growth in the next year. That I can say definitely with confidence. But regarding the exact guidance, at present no. Maybe after the first quarter we'll be able to have a better picture and we'll be able to do that. Second, margin, we just, before that, I will try to maintain that. We'll work that to maintain the margin which we are maintaining right now because the price increases are still going in our rubber components, in our chemicals, in our imported steel, and dollar also has gone up, you know, that from 75, 76 to touching now 78. And your third question, PLI, we are not... direct benefit of PLI, of course, I mentioned the earlier call also, we are getting the indirect benefit of PLI because vehicle manufacturers who are availing PLI are going to localize a lot of components and we are getting the benefit of that. Thank you. Hope it clarifies.
Yes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Patel from Equiligence Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is regarding the industry. So when we hear the commentary from auto OEMs, especially the TV players, they are quite confident of achieving FY19 numbers this year. So what kind of traction do you see on this side of business?
Yeah, sir, I can definitely say that if the industry grow by 10%, we'll grow more than that. That I can say. Of course, they are very confident and we are also confident. But let's see how the thing moves.
Commercial vehicles have given a positive guidance. There is CapEx happening from the government point of view. It's also private. But it will fluctuate. Like I've been on talks with a lot of my OEMs on a personal basis who I know. They all are saying there is demand. Then there is a semiconductor shortage. Then there is an interest rate high around the corner. There is fluctuation happening. But there is overall demand is there in the industry. So as we mentioned to you, we will outperform the industry. That we do. But I think better to wait out the first quarter, see, you know, let things settle down a bit.
Okay. And does that reflect in our order book as of now, or we'll have to wait for another quarter to confirm that?
Orders are all in. Not an issue. Yeah, order book is okay. Not bad for the month of May. That I can show.
Yeah. And so for future orders which are being closed, yeah, a couple of months more, we'll have better clarity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But no issues per se.
Okay. So second question is regarding our product pipeline. So how many products are that we have developed are in prototype stage? How many are under final approvals almost that can be commercialized over the next 6 months? And any product that you see can add decent top line over next 2-3 years?
No, I mean, the current projections, growth rates are all already products that we've secured, protoed, PPAP, developed, given to the OEM. Regarding future orders, there are several orders in the pipeline. But like I mentioned to you, I'll need maybe a couple of months more to make an announcement.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any new customers that we have added on the export side in last quarter?
Yeah, we are in the process of adding a few more customers, and we added a few. So that's an ongoing process. Yes, we have. But again, just wait a couple of weeks or a month or so for me to announce. We have added.
Like we added Kia, we have added Hyundai, we have added.
For export, we have added.
But we can't, there is some confidential clause, we can't mention the name at right now.
We have added.
Okay, fine. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question at this time. The next question is from the line of Riya Verma from Oracle Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Most of my questions have been answered, so I only have two. Firstly, on the capacity utilization. So what is the capacity utilization in Q4 and FY22? Do we have any capacity expansion plans, and what kind of revenue can we expect from this?
Yeah, I just tell you the capacity. Just a second. Please wait for it. My capacity, if we talk about the gasket, it is around 80% plus. And exporting, it's about 65 to 70%. Forging, in all forgings, right? But in machining, it's 90% plus. If I talk about our mainly, its capacity is around 70%. And if we talk about the Marwa rubber in anti-vibration, it's 90%. And it hoses around 40%. It will go, I think, the way the things are moving, it can go to 70% in next 6 months. And by the Nipah thickness, it's around 65%.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
FX is, of course, we will be expanding our capacities in the micro gasket division, especially in sheet side, plus new gasket for our export customers. I will be spending around 20 crores this year in our gasket division, and which has a, I think after doing that, I can easily produce around 38 crores to 39 crores per month. As keeping in view the product, as a product mix I'm talking about. And secondly, in the forging, we'll be spending another 15 crores. With this, my capacity will be around 22 to 23 crores per month. In that, around 300, you can say. It'll be there. We need to do that this year for the next financial year. These are the major capacities that we are doing this year.
Okay, sure. And secondly, who are our top customers in the gasket and forging business, and how much do these top 5 or top 10 contribute to these businesses?
Just a minute, let me give you that data also. If I talk about the gasket business, yeah, in the gasket business, my top one of the top customers is Bajaj Auto, 66 crores, Tata Cummins, 64 crores, Tata Motor, 24, BCV, 80, Hero Motor Corp, 17, John Deere, 15. Then comes the export customers of Cummins Export, then 10 crore, Jaguar, 10 crores. Some these are the aftermarket players, 10, 7 crore, 9 crores. In the forging front, my major customers are BMW, 44 crores, Dana Italy, 38 crores, GKN, Italy, 33 crores, Carraro, 19 crores, Dana India, 15 crores, JLR, again, 13 crore export, and Musashi, 8 crores, then these are small ones.
Okay, so that was really helpful. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Nisar Parekh from Native Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. I just want to understand the margin profile for the gasket and forging division, and also separately for the OEM versus exports. If you can just put some light on that, please.
Yeah. if you talk about the margins, EBITDA margin in the gasket business for the last year is around 14%. Okay. And in the forging business, this for the year, it's approximately 14.5%. That is the EBITDA margin. And the, and we are, if you see last 3 years, we are in the, we have improved our EBITDA in gasket by 1.5%. And forging is again fluctuating from 16, 14, 14.5, 15, depending on the product mix of export and domestic. And further question was?
For OEM versus exports.
Yeah, I can't hear you very well.
Sorry, the margins for OEM versus exports.
I think OE and exports margins
are different. If you see the, there is a difference of 3 to 4% in gasket, there is a difference of 5 to 6% in forging. The export is more favorable than domestic.
Got it. And can you throw some light on the order book? What is the order book today and what will be order intake in Q4?
Sir, you know that, of course, what should I say? Because no customer gives you a full year projection, by the way. We are, I mean, the customers, the way they move, will move. We are single source to Cummins, we are single source to Bajaj, we are single source to VCB, and we are 60% Tata Motors. If their volume go by 20%, of course, we'll also grow by that way. And regarding some export customers, and the way the global sales goes up, we are the single source in some components, so we'll grow there. It's very difficult to tell it today, because if I tell, the schedule also keep on fluctuating. It's very, very difficult. Of course, the growth will be there, but it will be 10%, 20%. For me, it's very difficult, because they are also not giving full year projections. And if they give the full year projection, they are not bound to buy through that projection. They can change that projection also.
Got it. And last question is on pricing. How does your pricing work? Your pricing, you know, how often are you able to revise your pricing, especially in light of what is happening with raw materials?
Yeah.
You know, given you would have long-term relationship, can you just talk a bit about pricing and how does that work?
Yeah, in all export customers, we have a formula for pricing. Of course, when the prices will go up, of course, for some are every quarter, some are after 6 months. In Maruti is every quarter. In my customer, like Cummins 6 monthly, Volvo 6 monthly, Bajaj 6 monthly. So we, in the export customers, we have also defined exchange and raw material prices. In export customers, in the case of forging, 1 month after 1 month, they increase the price of the steel if it is raw material goes up. Regarding exchange, after 6 months, they reset the exchange. So we have agreement with everyone. Aftermarket is open demand and supply game. That's
all.
This is the formulas.
Broad. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Ray, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Just wanted to have an idea on the segmental distribution. In the domestic sector, over the last 3 years, the passenger vehicle and two-wheeler contribution has gradually come down in FY22. So, what is the reason for this?
I think the heavy duty has gone up. The reason is that after BS6 implementation, our gasket business line, the value per engine has gone up about almost two and a half to three times. That's the reason.
And there is a degrowth in the two-wheeler for the last 2 years also, you can see that.
Two-wheeler is degrowing.
Okay.
We've not lost any market share. We've added customers, but there's just a general degrowth in this segment. CV, God being kind that we were the right product, invested in the right technology at the right time, and able to, you know, help do a lot of localization for our top customers and increase the value content per vehicle.
Okay. And where EV section comes under this bifurcation, sir?
It's basically in passenger vehicles.
Okay. and that is, as you mentioned, it is around 3 to 4%.
Yeah.
And where do you see this to go up, sir? EV contribution to the entire revenue?
I think it's going forward. It's going to go up to 7-8% in the next 2 years, one or two years, definitely. On the enhanced sales.
Okay. Fine, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I would like to thank you all for joining the call. I hope that we were able to answer your questions. For any further queries, you may get in touch with SGA and they'll be happy to forward them to us and we'll address all your questions. Thank you. Stay safe. Stay healthy. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Talbros Automotive Components Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. And you may now disconnect your lines.